This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
Kevin Young, A.J. DeBonsa, Robert Wright III, they're just here about, let's just win this year. Let's win right now. The possibility absolutely exists.
Then you add to it A.J., who is a generational talent and the highest recruit ever to show up on campus.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Dave McCann. Joining us in Studio B is the man of the summer, A.J. DeBonsa, who might arguably be having the best summer ever. It's included just a few things like, you know, throwing out the first pitch at a Red Sox game,
yeah,
winning gold overseas, being on the cover of Men's Health magazine.
Yeah, there was that.
A.J., how would you summarize what you've been experiencing over the last few months?
A lot. A lot is a word to describe it. I've been to like four or five countries in like 2 months. I saw a lot of traveling, but I'm glad to be back.
So if you're writing in your diary and you're starting with the greatest thing you did this summer, yeah, what would you be writing about?
Definitely winning gold is probably at the top, but going to Monaco and watching F1.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we didn't include that. I didn't know that happened. So, okay, so you watched an actual F1 race, not the movie with Brad Pitt.
No, not the movie. Actual.
An actual F1 race, yeah, in Monaco. What was that experience like?
Ridiculously crazy. Like, you just see yachts lined up. Just yachts lined up. And more yachts lined up. But well, I actually had a good view. Rebel actually got us a good view right above the pit stop. So I got to see one of the Rebel athletes do their pit stops.
You wanted to get in one of those cars, didn't you?
I couldn't fit.
I
tried it in Vegas. I couldn't fit, so I had to. I had to do another car.
Well, they're built for
tall people
guys
problems.
Go fast.
Yeah. A.J. DeBonsa is on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, billboard in Times Square. You've had multiple appearances on SportsCenter. I mentioned the cover of Men's Health magazine, but A.J., you stay very even keel. And I know your dad, Ace, is a big part of that because he's raised you the right way. And he told you not to get too high and too low. But still, when you see yourself on billboards and magazines, what's going through your mind to keep yourself in a steady mindset?
I don't even know. I just stay steady. I think it's just instilled in me at this point. So, I mean, I don't really like, it doesn't really go through my mind like, oh, my God, I'm on a billboard.
Mm.
I've been on a billboard for like 2 or 3 years now. So it's like
a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about pressure. You have all kinds of it in games, but when you step on the mound at Fenway, and all of a sudden you go, "Hey, that catcher's a little further than I thought he was going to be,"
yeah,
and then the back of your arm is into this spot, and things change a little bit.
Yeah.
Describe that pressure.
Yeah, definitely, because they said I was going to throw 60 feet, so I was going to throw in front of the mound, and then like right when I'm walking up, the guy's like, "I mean, if you can go on the mound if you want," and me, I have to take risks. Like, who knows if I'm going to throw a first pitch again? So I went on the mound. He's standing there. I mean, he's sitting there, and I'm like, ah, that's kind of far. So in my mind, I'm like, I can't throw it like a real baseball because it's going to hit the ground. So I'd rather go to my football skills, throw it upwards, and I got it there. So
kind of lobbed,
I'm not a meme.
Lobbed it in there.
Yeah, I'm not a meme.
Yeah, you can't bounce it. You just can't bounce it in these big leagues. You never recover
no,
from that.
No, you didn't. Listen.
And you didn't. Nice job.
Yeah, there's something to just getting it to the mitt, right?
Yeah.
There's about, then the relief. I've told people, I've thrown out a few first pitches. Mm-hmm. There are a few times I have felt more relief than when that moment is over.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just get
tough.
It, get it to the glove.
Yeah, just getting it there. Everybody's clapping. There's no ooze. Like, feel good.
So how is all this stuff, these different experiences, preparing you for opening night? Not necessarily in Vegas for the opener, but I mean when you run out in front of the Rock for the first time in the Marriott Center and just feel this feeling that you've been wanting to feel from Cougar Nation.
I don't even know how to describe it because obviously I've been in the Rock cheering for my team, but I haven't been on the court yet, so I just can't wait to see like what's it's like when I'm on the court.
Mm. Let's go ahead and recap that gold medal rush in Switzerland. As you get along further in the bracket, there are obviously tougher games, and I mean, I believe it was against Canada.
Yes. Yeah.
Really, really tight, high-scoring game. What was that like with your Team USA squad? And the guys around you, when you are in a battle like that, and you know, hey, we got to win gold. Like, how did you handle that pressure?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it was – we needed it, obviously, because the first, like, 3 or 4 games, we were winning by, like, 30-plus. So definitely we needed, like, a tougher game under our belt. And, you know, with the team we have, like, we know that it's, if we play together and we play the right way, it's going to be very hard to lose. So we just took that into account and we just played hard, played together.
You get the gold, you're hearing the anthem, and you, I know you want to play on the Olympic team someday, so maybe this was a precursor to all that. But as you're listening to America's Fight Song with the gold medal around your neck, how'd that feel?
That was great, because that was my third time doing it. Yeah. So that was my third gold medal, so the third time we're in another country listening to our anthem, so it was special.
What makes this one unique? Because, you have done it multiple times, but it feels like as you advance and everyone gets a little bit older, it probably gets a little tougher.
Yeah.
So how is this one different than the
others? Yeah, U19 is definitely the hardest one. U16, U17, and then U19 was definitely the hardest one out of the three. And plus, 2 years ago, U19 did a win for USA. So they wanted us to be on some, like, redeem team timing.
There's that added pressure.
So, we got it done.
Okay.
I know you want to keep getting better and better and better. How did this experience make you a better basketball player?
Just learn how to play with a different group of guys. Some of these guys played on the U18 last year, and I was on the U17. So mixing up guys and playing with different guys, you just got to adapt.
Do you figure that then carries over to this BYU group where you're trying to do the same thing with a bunch of new guys?
Yeah, but the difference is we're going to have way more practice time.
Yeah.
With USA, you only have like 2 weeks to practice, but we're going to have months of practice, and we're going to have off-court chemistry doing different things off the court. But USA is kind of like a tight space.
One of my favorite things about you, AJ, is how outspoken you are about repping the Y. And I imagine that you were repping the Y in the locker room with your U19 teammates. Yeah. So what were those conversations like? We're talking about maybe seeing some of those guys down the line.
Yeah, definitely, because Tommy Lloyd was our coach. Obviously, head coach of Arizona, a great coach. Shout out to Tommy Lloyd. But he's our coach. We have Grant, Coach Grant from Texas Tech's our coach. And then we have Coa Pete, who's in our locker room, goes to Arizona. And we just have a lot of guys that's just in the Big 12. And then there was just a lot of guys in college basketball. There's a lot of college basketball talks. Hopefully seeing these guys in the tournament.
Did you give them something like, hey, I'm going to see you in a couple months?
Oh, yeah. Like, they know.
They know.
Yeah.
Period, the end.
You go to the NBA Summer League in Vegas and have a chance to visit with Kevin Garnett, one of your idols, one of the great Celtics, and then put it out on social media so all of us could watch it. But what was that experience like? What did you learn from him in just those few minutes?
He's crazy.
Like, okay, outside of him being crazy.
He got ahead of his own, but now he gave me great advice, just telling me, like, the mental part of the game, because obviously he wasn't, like, the most skilled player at all times, so he tried to use the mental part to his ability, and clearly it worked, so he was trying to give me that side of basketball.
How do you feel about the prospect of going back to TD Garden and playing a non-conference game with BYU in your hometown? When that all came together, what was that like for you to realize this is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I played there before. I'm 1-0 in TD Garden.
Okay.
So I plan on being 2-0.
Let's go. But
it should be exciting. A lot of fans should come up.
You know, like the old Boston Garden, this one doesn't have the holes in the floor that Danny Ainge used to always tell us about, and the this and the that. This is all shiny and new. It's tailor-made for you to go have a great night.
Hopefully.
And how many folks from Brockton will be over there to wear BYU shirts and cheer for the Cougars for their first time in their lives?
I would say, like, hopefully, like, 70% of the city goes.
70%
of the
city.
It's like a big city, so it really might be 50, because there's going to be a lot of Boston, Boston people.
There you go. A couple of UConn fans might get in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. UConn fans travel. It might be, like, it might be 50-50.
That'll be cool.
AJ DeBonsa is with us on BYU Sports Nation, fresh off winning gold with the U19 Team USA squad, and, of course, traveling all over the United States. Tons of publicity stunts, but now you get to come back to Provo and just focus on ball.
Yeah.
And be with your teammates.
Yeah.
I know you had an opportunity to spend some time with them and get in the gym with them in the annex. What have you noticed about the team chemistry to this point, even though it's still early?
Yeah. We had a couple practices last week. It was optional, but a lot of us opting in. And for people who haven't played together for long, I can definitely see the chemistry getting along. Like, I do like a lob to, like, Mihailo. Like, I never played with Mihailo. This was, like, my first time playing because I was all across the country and he was rehabbing.
Yeah.
Nate threw a lob to me. Rob was finding Tyler. So it was just crazy that, like, we don't play a lot. Well, we haven't played a lot, and the chemistry was still there.
Was it the first full squad, everybody there type team practice, or is that still coming?
No, that's still coming because Dom wasn't there.
Okay.
And this week is a mandatory week. So I think the full team should be here this year, not this week.
We just saw the non-conference schedule from what's been reported, and you've seen those teams stacked up. How do you feel about it?
That should be good. Definitely a lot of good high-level, what is it, power four now, power five level games that should, place our seeding well. So and I'm ready for the competition.
All of this is happening in the summer while you are balancing classes, or at some point we're balancing classes. Yeah. So how is schoolwork going with you being the world traveler? Yeah.
No, but I decided to take spring classes. So before I went to USA, I was done. While I was at USA, I took my finals when I was in Colorado Springs, and then I was done.
You took your finals in Colorado Springs? Yeah. How'd it go?
A 99 and like a 97.
Come on! Yeah. Yes, AJ! Yeah.
But I didn't do summer because I knew my summer would be pretty packed. So,
and you're getting some core classes in. Because ideally, if you follow your mom's advice, which you should, is that there will be a degree to come back to complete down the road here.
Yeah, so that's obviously the goal. Yeah. Whenever, if I leave, then I plan on coming back to finish. Tell my mom. Because my mom is just like all about school.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta do what mom says. Yeah.
All right, we need to give a shout-out to, obviously, your dad, Ace, is in studio, and your mom, but your siblings as well are all high performers, AJ.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to give you an opportunity to talk about your siblings and let everybody know what they're doing. So could you give us a brief summary about each of your siblings and what they're excelling in?
Yeah. I have two sisters. I'm the only boy. I'm the middle child. So my younger sister is like a volleyball star, and then my older sister's a model. Yeah.
What's going on with the DeBonsa family, AJ?
A lot of athleticism.
But also academics. That's always been important.
We've always been 3.5 and above, I'll say. Always honor roll students for pretty much our whole lives.
So so we're here at the tail end of July. What's the rest of, are you done traveling the world? Are you here now? What's the rest of the summer look like before fall semester starts?
No, I'm pretty much here until our mandatory weeks are over. Unless I just get called up for something on the weekend. I actually never know at this point. Mm. I just be getting called for wherever. I got called to Monaco like a week before I was supposed to go.
The F1 race?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had conflicting things.
I got called for summer league like a week before, so we never know. But I should be here.
In the business of the game and the business of your future, and your dad's involved in that and spearheading that, there are a lot of things at play, right? There's your BYU experience coming. And then there's the branding that you're working on, and you got your Red Bull hat on, you have your sponsors and all that stuff. Are you catching a glimpse of just where you can go with this game?
Yeah, definitely just choosing my sponsors wisely, because I'm like a very big like family guy, so definitely like a family atmosphere with the sponsorships. So I can see myself trending in that way.
Yeah.
Before you go, I have to ask you about the idea of being on a sports trading card, because when I grew up, it was all about collecting Michael Jordan cards and Magic Johnson cards and Larry Bird cards. Sports card collections were very, very popular.
Yeah.
It feels like they're starting to come back and gaining more popularity in that arena. So how does it feel to be on a sports trading card?
I don't think it'll hit me until I feel it in my hand, but all I'm worried about is hopefully they don't take, like, a bad picture. Put it on the card.
Yeah, because it's a bad picture forever. Yeah. So that's a lot of pressure.
Like, it might be, like, a one-of-one card, and it's just a horrible picture. So that's all I'm worried about.
These are real problems.
Yeah.
We've been talking about football, and the team reports to camp next week. And first game's August 30th. The Arizona game is where you were that had such a great impact. You made your commitment and all that stuff. Now you can be at every game. How eager are you to watch this football team go?
Yeah, we were just talking about this. We're definitely going to try to attend a lot of games. Obviously, I only went to one last year.
Yeah.
And we see how hype that was. So we're going to try to hype up the crowd.
Let's go.
I think you'll probably do okay at doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Lavelle Edwards Stadium rocking. Then the Marriott Center will also be rocking.
For sure.
Hey, welcome back to town.
Thank you.
We're just glad you're here, man. Yeah. Energized, feeling good.
Yeah. I'm a little tired, but I'll try.
Okay. We appreciate you spending some time with us, man.
Thank you.
And for the record, so fashionable as always. Which of your teammates do you need to help out a little bit in the fashion category?
Ooh. We're actually pretty swaggy as a team.
Okay.
But one player. I mean, I really haven't. I've only seen them really on the court. So if you ask me that question in like 2 months, I'll give you
okay.
The answer.
And we will. Yeah, we'll ask you some fashion guidance for these guys.
All right, brother.
Thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Everything.
Thank you.
Hey, join us on Friday for BYU Sports Nation segment, The Best of Media Days, Part 2. Some of the interviews that you may have not heard. We'll hear from BYU Athletic Director Brian Santiago, college football analyst Greg McElroy. Much more Friday, noon Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Still on the way, where is former BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff reportedly going to transfer to? That and more in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Let's head back to our collection of fantastic interviews from Big 12 Conference Media Days. This time, my one-on-one with TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, who, if you remember, we lit up the Cougars in his first start in his freshman year at TCU. 44-11 win for the Horned Frogs. Well, didn't play last year against TCU. Now he gets his opportunity to play in Provo in mid-November, Brian. Home field advantage for the Cougars? Here's Josh Hoover on BYU Sports Nation.
Josh, welcome back to Big 12 Football Media Days. You come back with one of the best completion percentages in the entire conference and certainly a lot of confidence for the TCU offense. How do you feel like you're going to build in the right direction from what you did last year?
Yeah, I think it started this offseason, just going back and trying to figure out ways I can get better. I think just naturally developing as a quarterback, the longer you play, the more you see things, the more you kind of make better decisions. At least for me, that's kind of been the case. And so I think this spring I took huge jumps, huge strides as far as making good decisions, doing what I need to do, checking it down when I need to, throwing touchdowns when it's there. I think just playing the game at a higher level in every area. So I think that's something I've, you know, tried to work on is just continue to develop in a lot of areas. And then, you know, using my feet, scrambling a little bit, and then running with the ball when I need to keep guys honest. So I think that's something I can do. But as I've gotten more comfortable, it's kind of started to come out.
Specifically, where do you feel like you have taken the biggest strides in your own personal game? You mentioned a lot of things, but what's been the biggest step forward?
I think just decision-making. I think this spring was huge for me. Just understanding the game. I think understanding down and distance, what they're trying to do to me on defense, and then how I can respond in the best possible way to put our team in a successful position. So I think it's been just decision-making and just putting the ball where I need to, getting it to our playmakers, let them make plays.
This is a program with a lot of pride and some tradition for sure, only a few years removed from a national championship appearance. So what do you feel like is the next step to get back to that elite national level for TCU football?
Yeah, we got to win close games. You know, we had a couple games that got away from us last year. We're 3 points away from being in the Big 12 championship game. And so when you say that, it's not that far away. Felt like it at the time that we kind of had some struggles there early. But it's those close games. It's the details. It's all the stuff that people don't talk about, you know, the way you interact with your teammates and the way you show up, work, and the experience, the maturity of your team. So it goes back to those things, and that's something we focused on this offseason is just continuing to develop as a team, our culture, moving forward in the right direction with our offense and finding stuff that we do that we like to do offensively that's comfortable for us. And so I think we've kind of started to figure that out, and it's going to be a great year, and I'm excited about it.
You pointed out literally just a few points on the scoreboard. Comes down to a few plays from potentially being again at the top of the Big 12. So how do you manage the not driving yourself crazy thinking about that, but also using it as a motivating tool?
Yeah, I think it's you look back on that, and like most people wouldn't even realize that, you know, unless you set, like, you brought it to the table. And so I think as a team we've made that known that, hey guys, like, you know, we lost some early games that we shouldn't have lost, but we still had a chance. You know, that's part of this conference, and it's just, you never know who's going to be good. You never know who's going to win what game, lose what game. It's so competitive all the way around that you've got to continue to fight the entire season. And I think that, you know, looking back at it, there's some things we've learned and we're going to grow from as a program. And I know me especially, there's a lot of things that I need to improve on, and I'm going to this year. And I think as a quarterback, it's important for me to, you know, let that be known that there's some things I'm working on, and I think everybody else will follow that lead and fall in line.
TCU quarterback Josh Hoover is on BYU Sports Nation. What would you say the identity of TCU football is right now?
Yeah, I think we're just a blue-collar, chip-on-the-shoulder type team. And I know that's how I am. I didn't have one big recruit out of high school, been told no a lot of times, and just kept on scrapping, and I know that's a story for a lot of guys. You know, looking around at the guys here at Media Day, you know, Namdi was a JUCO guy, and a lot of guys just didn't have very many offers. And I think we all take pride in the things we've been through and the blue chip mentality, blue collar mentality that we've got in the city of Fort Worth. And that's just kind of who we are. We're ready to play and ready to do it with an edge.
What makes you want to play for a coach like Sonny Dykes?
He does a great job of bringing in the right people. You know, he does a great job with the coaching staff and bringing in the right players in the portal. And he just really runs the program in a really special way. He's like a CEO, just makes all the right decisions and brings the people in to help us be successful. And so I think when you have a coach like that, you have a lot of respect for what he's doing. And we're excited to go play and glad he's our head coach.
Let's rewind to your first start, which happened to be against BYU. I don't know if you threw an incomplete pass in that game, Josh.
There was. Yeah, I threw actually maybe one or two the other team, but it was good.
I do remember the interception, but you had a great game and a runaway victory. How do you feel like you've changed the most as a player from that first start to where you stand with me today?
Well, looking back on it, it's kind of funny. Like, thinking about that game, just everything was going 100 miles an hour. I mean, I saw, like, little white jerseys going everywhere, BYU, you know. These guys are flying around, and it was all moving so fast. And I think as you play, it just kind of slows down. It just comes what you do. And I feel like I've grown a lot in that sense, just seeing the field, seeing everything. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know at the time, but, you know, looking back on it now, it's kind of funny to see how, you know, how I was seeing it. So,
TCU in Provo this year. What do you know about Provo and Lavelle Edwards Stadium, or at least what have you heard?
Yeah, I mean, my dad played there in college, and so I've always heard that, you know, it's a great place to play. The fans are definitely a little bit rowdy, and I'm excited about that atmosphere, excited about that opportunity. BYU is going to be really good. They were good last year. They've got a great program, and they're going to be good on defense. So it's going to be a great challenge for us on the road, and couldn't be more excited about it, and it's going to be a great opportunity.
Yeah, let's have some fun with the history of your dad playing there. For those who don't know, walk us through his ties to BYU in that stadium.
Yeah, so he played at Colorado State, and so he played at BYU a couple times, I think. And, you know, I don't remember exactly how successful they were, but they...
That doesn't matter.
But they played out there, and I think they actually played in a snow game 1 year. But, yeah, I think I always heard about how hard the field was, you know, back in the day, the AstroTurf or whatever it was. So it's... BYU is a great spot, and they have a great program. Can't say enough good things about them, but, you know, we're excited to do our part and play them.
I can assure you the field turf is new. It's much softer now.
I think it's grass now, isn't it? Yeah, it's grass.
So it should be just fine for you. What is your perception of BYU football right now? Because you beat a BYU team that's trying to figure out the Big 12 in their first year in your first start. Didn't get them last year, but now they're coming off an 11-2 season.
Yeah, you can't, you know, look at past experiences in this conference and make assumptions about anybody. I mean, you can take a team like last year, Arizona State was picked last, I think, and they won the Big 12. You know, I mean, you can't make assumptions on teams. And so for us to say, oh, we beat BYU 2 years ago, that's going to matter. It just doesn't matter. I mean, they had a great year last year, super talented team, and we know they're going to be really good this year. And so you've got to show up every single week in this conference and play your best football, or you're not going to win. And so excited about that. BYU's always got a good defense. Offensively, they're explosive, and their coaching staff does a great job. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Josh, we appreciate the time. Just out of curiosity, are you a Colorado State fan after TCU still?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You know, by blood. But I don't wear much green and gold, so.
Understandable. Well, hey, purple looks great. We wish you the best of luck moving forward, and we'll see you in Provo.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thanks to Josh Hoover. Spencer says good luck. I don't. For more interviews from Big 12 media, football media days, go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel where you can find all of our content on demand.
Petty, Brian. Is there a non-Power 4 program that you would like to see join the Big 12 Conference? More responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar Sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, how many quarterbacks will start for the Cougars this season? Will they be a ranked team? We'll lay out our five boldest predictions for BYU football in 2025. AJ DiBonsa joins us in studio to recap his busy summer, including winning a gold medal of Team USA and
obviously sharing his excitement for the upcoming season.
So SportsCenter named BYU's 1984 national championship and Jimmer Fredette's 52-point game as the two greatest moments in BYU history. Did they get that right? That got us thinking. What are the top five moments in the history of BYU sports? We put a list together, and we'll roll it out for you and see what you think.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, July 21st. I am Spencer Linton. He is mascot assigner Dave McCann. He sees a team, he assigns the mascot.
It's not every day you wake up to a new mascot in the world, because you think they're all taken. but the American Conference came up with their own mascot today. They kind of changed their name, and they're rebooting a little bit. And so here's what they've announced. Their mascot of their conference is this eagle, and that's how they're going to do it.
This Soar makes sense.
The eagle.
An eagle for the American Conference. Okay.
They dropped the Athletics, which is just the American Conference, and they got an eagle. So then we're thinking, what if the Big 12 decided we need a mascot too? What would you come up with?
I thought a long time about this, and I was like, should I go with something that Brett Yormark said during Big 12 Media Days when he's like, we want to be contemporary and changing the future? But I'm like, the history of the conference is deep in the heart of America. It's got to be something associated with like cowboys or the Midwest or something,
could
right?
Be. Could be. Could
so
be.
I'd probably go with like an outlaw, a bandit, as the Big 12's mascot. You know, and even now, the other Power Four conferences look at the Big 12 as kind of an outlaw.
Yeah. They're an outlier,
right?
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. Or a jet, maybe, because it's 2,000 miles over this thing.
Okay.
So you have some kind of a
lot of distance to travel.
Thing. You could get a calculator, because there's 16 teams in the Big 12, and you could do the math and go, why are we still the Big 12? so you could go something with that. But I like your outlier, the outlaw.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Almost like they're a little bit different. Okay. they're not conforming to what we're doing. And frankly, the Big 12 conference of Brett Yormark don't care what the other Power Four conferences think about a lot of things, including college football playoff formulation
just,
and all of that.
Just go with the sign on the door that says open for business.
Just an open sign.
So there's options.
Now that is contemporary. With that said, rise and shout. We're open for business. Let's get to what's trending.
The fact that you've got the defense and the best kicker in the league is going to keep you in every one of those games.
I'm not panicking at all. Quarterback play is as much about the people around you. I mean, we got the guys that we need to. They're just tough.
It's not about us proving other people wrong. It's about us proving ourselves right.
What's trending presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. What better day than this Monday, July 21st, to lay out some very bold predictions for the BYU football season. It just feels right, Dave.
It's a beautiful morning.
Come on.
It's summer. Summer's winding down, ready to surrender to football, so it feels like a bold day.
Training camp is right around the corner, and we're, like every fan base in America, feeling optimistic about the start of a new season. But how bold are Dave and I willing to be? How bold are you willing to be in some capacity? We'll get to that in a moment as it pertains to BYU football in 2025. So, Dave, together, let's lay out our five boldest predictions for BYU this season, starting with this. Whew, this is a doozy. BYU, whenever they name a starter, Dave,
okay,
whoever that starter is, will be the only quarterback to start the entire season.
Dang. Like Jake did last year.
Yes.
Like Jaren did a couple years ago. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. We don't know who it is, so that's bold. With a capital B.
Didn't happen with Keaton Slovis, who Jake Retzlaff took over for in 2023.
No, it didn't. You know, Borgay, Hillstead, Bachmeier starting 12 games. That would mean we're having a really good season.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that all the questions are being answered. And that would mean that they are avoiding all those blitzing linebackers who are going to come at them left and right. Yeah, that's bold. It doesn't happen very often. In fact, we put a list together the last time that it's happened. And then you think, as you look at the list, you think it gets even bolder.
Yes.
That this would just be one guy to start every game. Look back there. You get Zach, Jaren, Jake. Okay, those are recent, right? And then you got to go to Taysom Hill.
Four times in 15 seasons.
Yeah.
Only four times in 15 seasons?
Well, that's why it's bold. And Aaron Roderick is looking at the show and looking at that list and listening to our bold thing going, that'd be awesome. I'll sign up.
Is it too spicy? Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Here's bold.
Yeah.
Here's bold number two.
Frankly, I mean, just the idea of a brand new quarterback being good enough to start every 12 game, let alone stay healthy, Dave. So,
you know, yeah. That might be a little more feasible if we knew who was going to start on the 30th. But we don't. And we're going to watch this one. Mm. And in November, when we're talking about this, we're going to go, man, that was really bold.
Mark these down. July 21st for everybody behind the scenes. Our producer, Colton Potter, mark this down. We'll revisit the bold predictions.
So at home, as you're thinking about bold things, that took the lid off right out of the gate. Here's bold prediction number two. Mm. BYU will be a top 25 team going into Big 12 play, which is the end of September at Colorado.
Okay. So a perfect non-conference obviously would be required for BYU to even sniff the top 25.
Right.
I think we're all wondering, how much will BYU drop in the typical voter's mind based on what has transpired in the offseason, headlined by Jake Retzlaff leaving BYU and now BYU being in a situation where they need a brand new quarterback. How much does that impact a team and how many votes they will or will not get? I can't wait to see if BYU even gets votes, multiple votes, when that AP poll comes out, Dave.
Guys who know football will give them votes. I don't know if they get in the top 25, but are they top 30, top 35? And if so, and they win those first three games, then yeah, they're in the top
25. Yes. So BYU has to be receiving votes, multiple.
And why wouldn't you receive votes if you return that defense, those special teams characters, and Chase Roberts, your All-American receiver, and a healthy running back, and a big offensive line? I mean, you should be in that mix. Those are all the qualities of what make a top 20 team.
Yeah.
And the quarterback thing is huge, obviously. And it's much bigger outside of Provo because you just think, oh, they lost their quarterback, then they're out. But these quarterbacks might not be so far from where Jake was to start. But we know that, and they don't. But they're the voters, and they'll decide where BYU sits.
Are we giving the voters so much credit that they will assess BYU fairly? I don't know. I'm looking at a guy like Phil Steele, who has BYU now with Jake Retzlaff out in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, way outside of the top 25.
And a couple of ESPN guys had them down maybe five spots, maybe projected to win one less game by not having Jake. So there's some that are right there going, okay, that's not that big of a difference.
If BYU is receiving votes, typically that means you're a top 40 to 45 type team. So if BYU is in that position and they win the three games like you talked about, Dave, then I think the voters would be like, okay, BYU is still good.
Yeah.
Even though the non-conference is not loaded. Look, Stanford, East Carolina, FCS, like no world beaters there. But if BYU can run through those rather unscathed, then I think voters would put BYU in the top 25 going into that Big 12 opener against Colorado.
If they pound Stanford on ESPN, that might be enough too to go, oh, wait, we ranked them 13th to end last year.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty good. And they've overcome losing the quarterback. That could get them in before the East Carolina trip, because remember, there's a bye week.
Yeah, that's
so there's some time.
The other thing to consider is there is no game on September 13th.
Yeah.
So there are 4 weeks before BYU plays a Big 12 game. It might take a 4-0 start after all is said and done for BYU to finally hop in the top 25, but there is a shot if they're receiving votes.
You go to Colorado and you beat Dion prime time on whatever channel it's going to be on, then you're in it to stay.
Oh, I'd be shocked that's not ESPN National.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're contending.
Yes.
According to the top 20 voters. Now you're back in. You've overcome the whole summer. So we'll see.
Love this bold conversation. Okay, we're talking top 25. We're talking about a quarterback starting every game for the entire season. Here is bold prediction number three.
Okay.
Whew. This is going to be tough to replicate. BYU will match their 22 combined interceptions on defense from last year.
That's potential crazy talk, but it's bold. It's bold.
I can't breathe. That is so hot.
12 different Cougars had picks last year. It's a result of a defense that creates chaos, and we've talked about it on this show quite a bit. If the defensive line is actually as good as they think it can be, And the linebacking core is better than they were last year, even just a little bit, then you have to think the recipe for the chaos is right there. And in the chaos is when these quarterbacks make bad decisions. Some of the best quarterbacks in the league threw multiple picks against BYU last year. Could that happen again? Well, sure it could. If you got a quarterback running for his life, he's capable of anything. Mm. And secondary's back with a lot of experience, especially in those safety spots. It would be crazy because we just hadn't seen that before. But all of a sudden, the guys who did it are all back for the most part. And then they've added some pieces, which might create more chaos at the defensive line spot. And then at least, you know, you can't have a tornado without the forecast of all the ingredients in the air. All the ingredients are there.
22 interceptions is almost two per game.
Yeah.
That is a wild number.
It's a lot.
I'm looking at the three bold predictions we've laid out, and I'm thinking, is that actually more bold than considering that BYU could start the same quarterback for all of the games this season?
It's a bold segment.
Might be the boldest.
It's 22. A bold segment.
Frankly, Dave, I'd settle for anywhere between 16 to 18. That'd be another fantastic number.
Yeah. Yeah, the pressure's on the defense to do this, to offset the challenges on offense, or the perceived challenges, because we actually don't know what those challenges are going to be. We just perceive some with a new quarterback. But the defense is not new. When Will Farron goes out to kick, do you expect him to make it? Yeah, he's not new. This is what he does. So this is what the defense does.
Holding teams to under 20 points a game, it's a top 20 number in the country, but the 22 interceptions, that was best in all the land.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Number one in the NCAA.
And there were some crazy ones.
All right, let's move on.
Bold prediction number four. BYU will have a 1,000-yard rusher and receiver this season.
Bold.
Now, last year they didn't have either, and they went 11-2. So the bold prediction is 1,000-yard rusher and receiver.
Whoa. Man.
So you're thinking Chase Roberts and you're thinking L.J. Morton.
Yeah, naturally, because those are your two leading guys in their respective categories.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's still bold to say that BYU would even have one of these.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened since Tyler Allgeier did it as a rusher in 2021. And Dax Milne had over 1,000 yards receiving in 2020. Has it really been 4 and 5 years for a 1,000-yard rusher and receiver at BYU?
And those schedules that Allgeier and Milne dominated are not this schedule. They're not these defenses.
No, Tyler's is more like a power four schedule that BYU faces because BYU did play, I want to say, 6 or 7 power fives in 2021.
Yeah.
So that one was more like it, but certainly Dax Milne and Zach Wilson were not competing against the schedule anything close to
what they were great
chasing
in their seasons. They were great. Can these two be that great in this season?
I don't think it's outlandish for L.J. Morton, if he stays healthy, especially, Dave, to eclipse the 1,000-yard rushing mark.
Yeah.
He's been banged up. He's missed multiple games, including last year. When he's been on the field and healthy, he has looked every bit the part of a 1,000-yard rusher. So can he play at least 11 games of the 13, including a bowl game this season? If he does, he will be a 1,000-yard rusher.
He ran angry against Colorado, which was awesome.
Indeed.
And as he's evolving into an angry runner like his coach, Harvey Unga, where you lower your shoulder and plow ahead, which we saw against the Buffaloes, that's the kind of guy that can get 1,000 yards. Mm. Got to stay healthy. Everyone does. He's changed his body in the offseason. When you see him in camp during our reports or on the 30th when he takes the field, you'll go, whoa.
Massive human being.
Yeah. Get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think like last year, I mean, he had a decent year last year, ran for 723 yards, but didn't even play coming out of the gate because he was hurt.
Yes.
And so he's not hurt. And he gets through camp and he comes out like a charging bull on opening day, then he's the new quarterback's best friend. Hey, give me 5 yards.
He got hurt early in that SMU game. BYU figured it out down in Dallas. Turned out to be one of their best wins of the season. But can BYU keep him healthy? That is the key there.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
is live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. He is Dave McCann. I am Spencer Linton. It's time now to visit more of your answers to our question of the day, which is, what's your boldest prediction about BYU football in 2025? We discussed five that we felt were very bold in the opening segment. Now it's about what you bring to the table. At Rowdy in the Rock on X says, blue goggles on, everyone. BYU will win the conference and have a first-round bye in the college football playoff and win at least one playoff game.
All right. Nice job, Rowdy. That's bold.
Okay, I just want BYU to get to a Big 12 championship game.
Rowdy's
going to the title game.
He's taking it to another level. Spencer.Worthington32 on Instagram. BYU will have a top five quarterback in the Big 12.
Whoa.
Whoever that is.
That is extra spicy because the Big 12, notably in most national college football circles, yes, is the conference of quarterbacks this season. Whoa.
One of these, he's saying that, hey, this guy, whoever it is, can be as productive as Jake, if not a little more, next year in the Big 12 and finish in the top five. That's what he's saying.
We did ask him to be bold, right? Mm-hmm. Bookmark these again. Let's bring it back later in December sometime. Seth LaPierce on Instagram says, Isaiah Glasker wins Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. BYU goes 11-1.
Wow. Which is the most bold? That's a two-part bold.
Who do they lose to?
Who do they lose
to? It's 11-1.
Glasker could be Defensive Player of the Year. Didn't make the preseason All-Big 12 defensive team, which was a mistake. So could he just come charging in ahead of everybody, especially there's a lot of linebackers in this league. Could he do that? Mm. He could do that. That's a bold thing. I think 11-1 might be a little bit more bold than Glasker winning Defensive Player of the Year.
The schedule is interesting when you think about what BYU could do, because the first six games on paper right now seem much easier than the back six. We don't know how it's going to play out. That's what's so fun about this conference and the parity involved is there are a few teams that we think are going to be world beaters right now. We're like, oh, man, that's such a tough game. Like, oh,
they're not even going to have their quarterbacks when BYU plays them.
Like, we don't.
Some of these teams are going to drop like flies.
Yes, and then there will be some teams that were like, they're terrible. Like, there's going to be an Arizona State from last year. They were picked to finish last. They win the conference. I'm not saying that's going to happen again where the worst team perceivably wins the conference again, but don't be surprised to see some big movers and shakers. Like, there will be some bad teams that actually are going to be really good.
Yeah, and can Oklahoma State really be that bad again?
Arizona?
Probably not.
Is Arizona going to take a step forward? Yeah. Like, we will see. That's what makes it so fun.
Damian Argabero on Instagram. LJ Martin and Jack Kelly will be Big 12 offensive and defensive players of the year, respectively. So he's going for the sweep. I don't know where Will Farron, I don't know why he didn't make the list as the special teams guy, but he's got these two taking the league.
We're getting very specific with this next one. At the Bowman Bagley on X says, bold question mark. First play from the line of scrimmage is a backwards pass to Parker Kingston who throws a bomb to Chase Roberts for a touchdown.
Is that against Portland State? Is that the first play?
That happens.
We've seen it before.
Then we'll Bowman Bagley's been in on some team meetings. Okay?
That's right. He might have exposed himself a little bit. Wilbur Hearn, 85-171 on X. Bear will throw multiple touchdowns to his brother this season.
Whoa.
Even if he's not named the starter.
Bear to Tiger connection.
Remember, Bear can play four games and still have a redshirt
in play. Yes.
So even if he's going to be preserved for the future, he could still get in.
Mm.
Could he play and throw multiple touchdowns to Tiger?
I love the creativity that is being pushed forward here. This is one of my favorite parts of social media.
Was it
and
not
our question
one
of the day?
Was it not one of the coolest moments against South Florida when Baylor Romney threw a bomb to Gunner?
Oh yeah,
and he went into the end
then
zone.
The connection,
and you just watched it going. Yeah, and then
at Utah State as well, a touchdown.
Yeah,
a little quick screen pass, wide receiver screen.
Those were great moments.
So cool.
So the Bachmeyers are going to do something.
Brotherly connection.
That's cool. Hey, if you missed any of our interviews or our shows or our deep blues, you want to see the AJ interview again, which you should because it was awesome, you can find them at BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app. Get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, today's rise and shout out to a few former Cougars doing their thing at the highest level. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Station continues live from Studio B, and we now feature another of our one-on-one interviews from Big 12 Conference Football Media Days. This one with Dante Corleone. Yes, I know his name sounds very similar to Don Corleone, and frankly, he is the godfather.
It sounds exactly like Don Corleone.
He's the godfather of Cincinnati's defense. Why would he pick BYU if he weren't in Cincinnati? And what did he think of his experience in Provo? Enjoy this.
Dante, good to have you back on BYU Sports Nation. Cougs going to visit Cincinnati in late November this year. Why do you feel like your Bearcat program is ready to turn a corner and make some noise in the Big 12?
Yeah, first of all, getting the right resources. Now we got a $134 million indoor facility. You know, now we can compete as far as getting recruits now. And then secondly, just building a culture. You know, when we went to you guys, we didn't have the best culture. And now we're just stacking recruiting classes and make sure they're on the same page so we can have a positive energy in our locker room so we can be able to win games in the fourth quarter.
Let's talk about that practice facility because I asked your athletic director about it as well. What type of a game changer is that specifically for you and the football team?
Well, if it was freshman Corleone, I'm living in there because it's just the crowd chamber. That's the resources we had now. I mean, back then we didn't have anything. Like, we just had a cold tub, that's it. But now we got the crowd chamber, the red light machine, like all that going to be a game changer, especially for our body for later in the year. Because our body going to naturally go down because we don't have the resources to really use to recover. But now we got that resources, and now our body going to feel good in December, so we'll be able to go to a bowl game.
Clearly, getting back to that bowl game status is a huge part of getting to the next step. So it's not that Cincinnati was far off per se, but what is the next step to get to those six wins? Like, what has to change?
Well, first off, just joining the Big 12 alone, just the talent level was a big difference 23-wise, especially going against BYU. The size difference was, like, noticeable. Mm-hmm. But now that we've been in here for 2-3 years, now we get recruiting the guys for that size, like a Joe Cotton, like one of the best tackles we got in the country to fit that mold of a Big 12 team so we can be able to win football games.
How do you perceive BYU, just having played against them and experienced what it is like to play against the Cougars? Like, what's your perception of BYU in general?
Surprisingly, that was one of my favorite venues to go to. To seeing, like, it was a night game, we could see the mountains in the back. But also, they played mind games. They were just way too nice. Like, we're coming in, they're shaking our hands. I'm like, they let us lower our guard. That's why they beat us. But no, but it's all love. I love BYU. And if I wasn't playing for Cincinnati, I'd be a BYU guy. So.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so the atmosphere and just
The fan base is not toxic or anything. They're all nice. I've seen them clean up trash after the game. I'm like, I never see that anywhere else. So just them taking ownership in their own stadium and not smoking or none of the bad things. I just like how they handle themselves.
BYU fans that want to make the trip to Cincinnati in late November, what are they going to experience when they get to campus if they haven't been there?
Well, this is the same as them. It's going to be like another home game to them. You know, our fan base is the same. They're loyal to them. They share beer together or something like that, talk trash. But it's all love at the end of the day.
The Bearcats, under Scott Satterfield, there's some continuity there with the staff and the head coach. How have you seen him evolve as a head coach and your time with the Bearcats?
Because I know his first year he wasn't expecting that at all. But just me, Joe Royer, Swordsby, we got on board, especially Gavin Gerhart, a six-year senior center. Just us helping him out, like building that player-led program, like us being the foundation in the middle to go for us to the players and then him, like so we can have like we have Bearcat Council meetings, like leadership meetings, so we can help our leadership grow. So when the season comes, we just playing ball, baby.
And we'll finish with this. You mentioned the culture. How do you feel the change? It's hard to pinpoint, but like, what are you feeling is noticeably different?
I can tell you one thing. I love showing up to work, but 2023, I did not like showing up to work. But it's second to none in our locker room. Like, people doing stuff outside of football. Like, they're going to art museums together. Like, they're going to church together, doing Bible study together. Like, it's not a lot of programs that do stuff like that. So I know that's going to translate over to the field.
He's a Cincy man right now, but maybe at some point. In a roundabout way, a BYU guy as well.
Maybe in the next life, baby.
Thanks, Dante.
I appreciate you.
In the next life. Fantastic personality, Dante Corleone.
It's not personal. It's just business with him.
The best of BYU Sports Nation. We'll be right back. Rise and shout for the trending topics of the week.
here on the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Next on BYUSN, BYU football back firmly in the underdog role. Which national analyst is the latest to sell stock in the Cougars? Is BYU being undervalued moving into the 2025 season? ESPN's Trevor Maddich answers that as he joins the program. Does he think the Cougars can still be a contender with the quarterback battle?
From Big 12 Media Day, Cincinnati Bearcat defensive tackle Dante Corleone. Would he be a Cougar if he wasn't a Bearcat? Fantastic interview coming up. And more Cougars are gearing up to represent the Stars and Stripes on the big stage.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, July 23rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who refuses to lose in any edition of Mario Kart, even in real life. He is Dave McKinn.
You know, it's great to be here. It's good to see you. It's the day before Pioneer Day. It's an exciting time here in Utah. You can shoot fireworks again. Heard some last night and love that. But it's interesting how NFL guys choose to arrive in camp. It seems like the Green Bay Packers always rode their bikes in. Remember Jamal Williams was always riding a bike in?
Yes.
Well, here comes Puka Nacua in a go-kart as he's cruising into Rams training camp. Now, there's a guy with some expectations this season. Easy rider coming in. What do you think of that?
He has assumed the role of the aforementioned Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
It was always, what's Jamal going to do this year? Now it's, what's Puka going to do this year? Very lovable personalities. I love that both of those guys endeared themselves to their respective fan bases and are just generally loved across the National Football League.
And folks see Puka coming in, or on Cougar Nation, because, you know, you have to decide what round are you going to draft him in your fantasy football draft. He's getting better and better and knocking on the door of the elites at receiver in the National Football League.
I just keep looking at the picture, the huge backpack on. Like, I don't know how he fit himself into the go-kart.
He's got snacks. He's got graham crackers in that backpack.
We love Puka. We love the Nacua family. And a shout-out to Mama Nacua as well. Yeah. She is the best. On that note, rise and shout. Be careful on those go-karts. It's time for What's Trending.
I believe in the offense. I believe in the scheme.
BYU returns almost everybody, minus the quarterback.
I think BYU believes that one of those guys can produce those kinds of numbers, and the motivation is high for this Cougar team.
Underdog! BYU is right back where most fans want them to be, Dave. They are now taking more hits from members of the national media. And we'll get into the fairness, or maybe in your opinion, unfairness of it. But the most recent is Joel Klatt of Fox Sports recently on his own personal podcast talking about teams he's buying and selling going into the 2025 college football season. BYU was Joel's fourth team that he is selling, and he said it was an easy sell. In fact, we'll give you the full context and play the soundbite for you right now.
I think this is an easy sell. Unfortunate for this program, but this is just what happens right now. This sell is BYU. Okay, so with everything that's gone on this summer, you look back and it's like they start 9-0 last year. They've got CFP in their sights. They lose two of their last three in the regular season. They beat Colorado in the bowl game. A lot of people high on them in the offseason, but part of that was the fact that they felt like with Jake Retzlaff back on offense, they could handle some of the losses on the defensive side. I love Kalani Sitake. Again, this is not indicative of like an overall program decline. It's just an indicative of terrible timing at the most important position on the field. You lose your quarterback and the three-man battle has had no time to develop. So in total, they have 12 total quarterback starts at the college level and zero at the Power Four level. That's tough. It's really tough to overcome that. They're replacing eight starters on defense. That was a defense that was excellent last year. The schedule isn't bad, but it's, again, just like all the other Big 12 schedules, you're facing a bunch of teams with similar talent, and you're probably going to be in a one-score game with a quarterback that has no experience. So, again, not indicative of where this program is at overall. I love Kalani Sitake, everything he stands for and represents. I like this program. But for 2025, this is an easy sell. BYU is on the sell list.
Okay, Dave, a lot to take in there in those 90 seconds. Notably, he says and points out terrible timing at the most important position on the field with the quarterback switch.
You have a new quarterback in a conference that is lauded for its parity and the number of one-score games that are played. And then he references replacing eight starters on defense. So what's your reaction to Joel Klatt mentioning those things and saying BYU is an easy sell?
Well, I think the first reaction is, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the first BYU Cougar Nation reaction.
What?
Does he not even know what's going on? And then the second reaction is, on a lot of things, he's not wrong. They're just things that are painful to hear, right? It is damaging to lose your starting quarterback in the summer. And it is a giant challenge to find one in the first week of fall camp or the second week or if it goes further. So that part's true. They are in a league that's quarterback heavy. There's some really good ones. We're going to ask Trevor Maddich about his opinion on this in a few minutes. I get it. I get it from the outside. I can see his take, and he's not alone, right? There's a lot of people going, hey, we voted him 13th in the AP Top 25 last January, and now they might not even vote him in the Top 25 next month because of the Jake Retzlaff loss. That's putting a lot on a quarterback that was a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the Big 12, surrounded by the best defense in the league, and he's got a lot of returning experience here. So you throw that in there, and you still go, I don't think he gets it. Yet at the same time, from the outside looking in, where is he wrong?
Totally fair statement by you, and I think totally fair from Joel Klatt's perspective to say those things.
Yeah.
This was not his opportunity to bash on BYU. And I think he made that clear when he kept saying repetitively,
I love Kalani.
I love what he stands for. I love the program. He is doing his best to analyze a team in a conference that has such a razor-thin margin of error. The one thing that BYU will clearly miss with the departure of Jake Retzlaff, in my opinion, is, and this is not a bad thing, the irrational confidence that Jake brought to the field at times, where it's like, you have no business thinking that you're going to go out there and win this game, but he'd find a way in some of these circumstances.
Right.
And his teammates rallied around that. He believed that he was always going to win, that leadership factor. That's something you can't just immediately replace,
regardless
of who the starter is. You can't plug and play and be like, hey, show me that confidence, that irrational confidence that we're going to go and win and have. The quarterback's going to have to do some things for the team to really start to see and buy in, like, okay, you are the guy.
So we can convert third and 17.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going to take some time because you have to see it. So I understand why he's saying what he's saying about BYU losing the most important position on the field this late in the game. It's going to take some time for the Cougars to ramp up. They do have a schedule that is conducive, I believe, to helping whoever the starter is ease into the role before it gets really difficult in the back six. But the eight starters on defense, I feel like, is an overvalued opinion that he brings up, because you and I believe that BYU's defense has reloaded and just might even be better, Dave.
And it's not just us. Ask anybody on that defense and ask any defensive coach, starting with Jay Hill. They think they're going to be better.
Which is crazy. If you think about replacing eight starters, including all four of your defensive front on the line. So you recently spent some time examining that defense. Why do you feel like BYU could and maybe will be better on defense?
That defensive line, adding Tanevasa and a bunch of new guys, that's the front line of where the chaos starts. And as this defense, and they always talk about, hey, we create chaos, that's where the mistakes occur, when chaos is created. And they appear to be rebuilt and even stronger in certain positions to continue the chaos. So then you go, well, if the chaos is still there, then the quarterback is still likely to make mistakes. And then here come the turnovers. That was the bread and butter of this defense last year. They're strong at corner. They're back at safety. The linebacking core is among the best and most underappreciated in the Big 12, if not the country. And then you strengthen your front line. That gives you a defense that you want on the field, like all the time.
I love what BYU has, certainly at the linebacker position. I know they lost Harrison Taggart. It's one of those eight starters Joel Klatt mentions. But you ask Kalani Sitake and Jay Hill about Ciala Ysera, and they'll tell you what kind of ceiling he has. And they believe they have upgraded. Even though they lost a good player, they believe they have upgraded there.
Yeah.
That's just one of those guys that they would say that about.
It's kind of we're in the season of feelings hurt. because we're going to have them hurt again and again here before we get started. When the AP Top 25 comes out, we'll probably have our feelings hurt.
BYU's not going to be ranked.
When the other polls come out, the other pundits come out, and none of it's going to be, those guys are awesome, they're looking for a quarterback. Put your money on that. and we have a little broader perspective. We go to practice and we see what they have and this and that. Maybe we have some blue goggled stuff too. But it is that kind of a we don't just get over the Jake departure like that. The ramifications are the national media don't think you're going to be as good.
No.
And no one likes that. It doesn't make you feel better. So then you go prove it on the field. And by East Carolina, or maybe by the end of the fourth quarter against Colorado, some national TV dates, BYU's answered all those questions.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's like, okay, the pundits were wrong, and now keep your eye on this team. Or the pundits are right. And that's what's going to play out.
And they knew it. Yeah. Phil Steele has BYU, I think, number 53 right now. I would imagine Joel Klatt has the Cougars somewhere similar to that. I don't think BYU will be a ranked team. I hope they receive some votes and have an opportunity to hop into the top 25 if they can start 3-0. But it is what it is on paper, okay? But the follow-up question there is, with everything that we know, do you feel like BYU is being undervalued in general heading into the 2025 college football season?
Sure. Yeah. And for all those reasons, it's almost like last year didn't happen, right? And if there was a Big 12 preseason poll where last year BYU was put 13th, they would be in a spot where everyone would be upset. Going, what? They don't respect us.
Yeah, this year, BYU, with the Retzloff news, they're probably showing up 8th or 9th in that Big 12 preseason.
And you're like, how is that possible with everybody else? It just is. And so you go prove it on the field again. And no one likes to go out there and prove stuff more than Kalani. That's his motivating thing. You know, they don't know what about they're going to see. They're about to find out. They're going to go show it. And so privately, BYU's not upset by this stuff. Makes for a harder climb, right? You got to climb over all those teams to get into the top 12. You can do it, but it's just a harder climb, as we saw last year. But they make the climb by feeling disrespected, and it motivates them.
The reaction on social media in large to Joel Klatt's comments and some of the other national analysts that have said similar things is what you said. What? Do they not see what?
Come on.
There's almost a frustration associated with it. But then a lot of fans also kind of circle back to, wait, this is exactly what BYU wants.
Yeah.
Low expectations, let everybody sell. The over-under right now for BYU is 6.5 wins.
It was 4.5 last year. It's only up by 2.
Okay. This is exactly where BYU wants to be. So takes a minute to get through that initial emotion of being bugged. But I think that the general consensus says, no, we're good. This is what BYU needed and wanted.
Now go out and show it.
See if they can thrive again. Our question of the day, we ask you the same question that I just asked Dave. Is BYU being undervalued heading into the 2025 college football season? Kurt Benson on X answers, definitely. Most people seem to forget that BYU came into last season with similar uncertainty at the quarterback spot. Whoever starts will have an incredibly strong supporting cast capable of competing for the conference championship. Whew. That has shades of blue goggleness in there. But let's just see if BYU can start the season 3-0 and then maybe go to Boulder and win their Big 12 opener.
So I wrote,
and it doesn't seem so blue goggle.
I wrote in the Deseret News and finished with the line, you know, because Kalani's like, they don't know, but they're about to find out. And now maybe you tweak it this year, too. They should know. And they're about to get reminded, because that seems to be the mantra. That you should know, and now we're going to have to go out and show you again.
Yes. Can you go do it again?
You know what? I want a ticket to that game. Oh, wait, they're all sold out. Season tickets have been. People just can't wait to see what happens.
Understandably.
It's the beauty of it.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join our social media question of the day.
So The Athletic released an article giving valuation for each P4 program. BYU came in at 50th overall, 9th in the Big 12, with a valuation of $306 million. Here's the money board.
Okay.
This is based on BYU's $43.7 million average football revenue per year. So the question, what does BYU need to do to be a top 5 valuation in the Big 12?
Dave, let's start with how about being in a Power Four conference for more than 2 years?
That's a good place to start.
And getting a full share of the television revenue.
Second good place. Right? Second good place to start.
It starts there.
You're catching up. You're catching up.
So BYU's chasing it. You look at the top two teams there in Utah and TCU. Those teams have been in power conferences for a decade plus.
Yeah, 14 years. Right?
You've got a long head start. You have to give BYU time to just be in the conference, build that revenue that comes in on an annual basis. And then if BYU can continue to win and continue to sell tickets, you know, talking about the fan excitement you were just referencing, and sell out their stadiums again and again, then you start to raise that valuation.
So I like the trend of the valuation of in the second year in the Big 12, 11-2, go to a bowl game, you win it, you earn the most money you've ever earned at a bowl game in one setting. So you start there. Then your big recruiting class in 2026 is number one in the Big 12, top 20 in the country.
Yeah.
So those things in the build are trending. The only thing not trending is a quarterback. We already talked about that because that's the only thing that's holding BYU back. Who's going to be the quarterback now that there's been the change? Everything else is positive and moving forward. So I think the futures look good. The current valuation just is what it is. And BYU's a private school, too, and I don't even know how accurate those numbers are.
Yeah, well, that's the other X factor here is what are the numbers? We don't even really know. BYU doesn't divulge those things. Right now, ninth out of the 16 Big 12 teams and the highest of the four newcomers from a couple of years ago when BYU was put in. It's a good place to be. They're building.
They're coming.
BYU is building. Just give them time to be.
There are some of those schools who aren't building that are about to start sliding. BYU's moving the other way.
Certainly. All right, let's finish with this as we finish out our trending topics. Fox Sports put out their top 10 college football rivalries. BYU-Utah in at number 8. Okay. Now, consider that The Athletic released an article not too long ago that had BYU-Utah outside of the top 25. I think they had them at 26.
I'd call them the unathletic on some of those things.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So at number 8, do you feel like this is a fair spot for the rivalry when you look at some of the others on the page, which include number 1, Michigan, Ohio State, 2, Alabama, Auburn, and 3, Oklahoma, Texas. Just in front of BYU and Utah is Florida, Georgia at 7.
Yeah, the Notre Dame-SC one doesn't really feel like a rivalry to me. That should be USC and UCLA, I would think, if you're going to go with the Trojans up there. Who wants to beat them the most? But I like BYU at 8. I like it in the top 10. I saw that and I go, hey, they finally got it right. And you know, Utah's just not the biggest state. We get it. These teams haven't been playing as long as some of these others. That's understood. But when it comes to October 18th and those two teams take the field and you try to gauge that emotion that we will have. That's top 10. That's top 10 rivalry of this game means everything. Mm. And it even means more to those who say it doesn't mean that much. It does. It just does. I like it at number 8. It seems fair.
Listen, when I was coming in with the number 26 perspective from The Athletic a few weeks ago, 8 feels a lot better, and it feels appropriate.
Yeah.
Every national writer and analyst that I talk to that goes to this game for the first time, they always say the same thing. I had no idea. I had no idea it was this toxic and it was this crazy. Stuart Mandel, he's a guy that we've had on the program several times. He'll tell everybody in the national media it's an underrated rivalry. Like, he feels it in his mentions probably on a daily basis because it feels like BYU and Utah fans are constantly arguing based on things that he posts. Sometimes it has nothing to do with it.
I know. They just love it. It'll be curious to see what happens with this rivalry when it comes to that kind of intensity when Whittingham retires because he's been such a lightning rod of a guy who played here and has been so good there.
Yes.
And neither side is terribly comfortable with it. That's going to be interesting because he's it. He's the face of the rivalry, at least right now.
Well, just the coaching staffs, it's strange how it has worked out. Like, so many coaches for BYU have Utah ties, and so many coaches for Utah have BYU ties. Notably, new guys, Jason Beck and Mark Ottawayan, Micah Simon.
Right. It's like the whole group.
It's like they
have a Cougar Club meeting at halftime. But, I love it. Number eight. And October 18th is going to be
special,
a magical
special
night
in Provo.
Hey, join us tomorrow. Speaking of magical things, BYU football, that 70s show special. I look back at the start of the Lavelle era at BYU, perfect for Pioneer Day. Quarterback greats Gary Scheide and Mark Wilson are the guests. Noon Eastern Time, BYU TV, BYU Radio, tomorrow.
When we come back, the great Trevor Maddich of ESPN joins us for a Maddich Wednesday. It's an all-star break, if you will. And Trevor Maddich is the all-star. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
There is nothing more compelling than a quarterback.
Next man up mentality. That's what we've had at all time.
I still believe BYU can finish as one of the top five teams in this conference. Because I believe in this team.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, once again teamed up with Dave McCann. It is now time to bring in for a Maddich Wednesday, typically Maddich Monday, but it's a Maddich Wednesday in the offseason. ESPN college football insider, analyst, all-around good man, and he's a national champion of college football. Trevor Maddich is back on the program. Trevor, how are you? How is your summer going?
It has been fantastic. My wife is an artist and a good one. She's got work in museums all around the country. And we spent a lot of time in New Mexico and Santa Fe and in Taos this offseason so she could pursue that. And so it has been an amazing artistic offseason for a football player that knows very little about art.
Trevor, let's say that you were so lost in your vacations and in art that you missed everything that happened with BYU football and the quarterback upheaval. So just welcome back. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but nothing's going on here.
Joking aside, how have you been perceiving BYU through a significant change at the quarterback position and how they are now being seen by much of the national media?
Yeah, guys, I think in the national media, they've fallen off the map. I think losing their starting quarterback, who won 11 games last year, Jake Retzlaff, a lot of people are thinking BYU won't be able to be competitive in a very competitive Big 12 this year like they were last year. I don't necessarily agree with that. I see the problem at quarterback. But I also know that when something like this happens, teams tend to bond together. You know, they become a patrol behind enemy lines, and they're all they have. And it's like everything is a road game. Everything is nobody believes in them. And that tends to bring out the best in players when it's a good culture and when players have good football character. And BYU is famous for those things. And so the quarterback position is going to be interesting to see how it shakes out. But I think the rest of the team will actually improve beyond what they ever would have done, because they have to now, because they won't be able to rely on a dynamic quarterback in Jake Retzlaff.
Now, you broke in some good quarterbacks in your time at BYU, and they turned out to be great quarterbacks, but no one really knew once they first got into the center. They were hopeful. And so now they inherited good teams. And these quarterbacks, whoever it's going to be on the 30th of August, has a really good team, especially maybe the best defense in the league again in the Big 12. How big of a difference maker is that?
It's a huge difference maker. You talk about the defense, Dave, and the thing is, last year, quietly, BYU's defense led the Big 12 in most major categories. I mean, scoring defense, total defense, takeaways, passing defense. There's things they can improve at, but I think some of the transfers they brought in along the defensive line give them a chance to improve in those places, and that is to be even more dynamic from more positions on the defensive line without having to get the linebackers involved. And then, of course, the linebackers are phenomenal. But getting those short fields from all those turnovers helped the offense greatly last year, and it's even more important this year when you're breaking in a new quarterback who is going to need to play from ahead. or at least not play from behind, because that's when young quarterbacks start to cause trouble. On the offensive side, this is an offensive line that I think could be even better than last year's. Certainly, I think it'll be even deeper than last year's. And with L.J. Martin healthy right now, I think the running game has a chance to set the tone for this entire team. I mean, last year, the tone was largely set by Retzloff and all the things that he could do, all the big plays, all the extending plays with his legs, you know, and then he'd fit a ball into impossibly tight windows down the field, and it was about Jake. This year, I think it's going to be more like the Washington Super Bowl teams of the 90s with John Riggins and the Hogs on the offensive line. And I think this is where the identity needs to be on offense. And that complements the defense exceptionally well. Now, the passing game will still need to contribute and contribute greatly as the season goes on and the schedule gets tougher. But I think that they've got the pieces in place on defense to hold down the score and to provide short fields with turnovers for the offense. And then with the running game to allow whoever starts at quarterback time to develop.
Let's go to your area of expertise as the center of the national championship team. What's it like for the center to be in the middle of a quarterback battle as you go into camp?
Yeah, it's interesting just because there's communication between the center and the rest of the offensive line. There are calls that are made. And so it's the quarterback and the center usually that are dictating everything that happens. And so from people talk about the snap and how that's different. I don't know that that's terribly different unless you've got a quarterback that just puts his hands, it's weird, you know, and he's not in the right spot all the time. But that rarely happens when the quarterback's under center. They'll be in shotgun a lot anyway. And so really it's a matter of communication to make sure that the center and the quarterback are on the same page relative to the protections and the calls and things like that. That takes time to develop, but it's not the thing that concerns me the most about a new quarterback. The thing that concerns me the most about a new quarterback is that he might try to do things that aren't there, make plays that aren't there, because he thinks every play has to be a big play and he has to be a star on every play. Well, on this team, especially early in the season, the quarterback needs to have the Hippocratic oath of football. First, do no harm. And if there's not a play there, don't turn it into a negative play for the other side. The punter is your friend and survive to run another series with a good field in front of you. So these are things that I'm more concerned about when it comes to the center and the quarterback. To me, it's more that the quarterback doesn't try to do too much to impress the center.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We're talking, of course, BYU football. And with so much attention paid to the quarterback battle, let's break down the three that have a chance to start for the Cougars, Trevor. Notably, Treyson Borgay, who comes in with 8 starts of experience at Western Michigan. He's technically been with BYU the longest of the three. After that, McKay Hillstead with his 4 starts coming from Utah State. And then a freshman in Bear Bachmeyer. So who at this point would you give an advantage to, if at all?
It's hard to pick an advantage here because they all have a slightly different skill set. So I think the best pure passer long-term might end up being Bear Bachmeyer, but he's a freshman who just arrived to the program. And you've really got to know where to distribute the ball and distribute it well in order to avoid those mistakes. Keep in mind that young quarterbacks like that, when they drop back, they look at the coverage. If they're not exactly certain what they're looking at, they'll pat the ball, they'll have happy feet, they'll move around, and that's when the pass rush converges on them. That's when they throw the ball into a spot that they shouldn't. Now, I'm not saying that Bear would do this. I'm saying that this is one of the things that he will have to overcome in order to, in the minds of the coaches, in order to win the starting job. I think Borgay has a lot of experience. And he is more of a pure pocket passer. And so BYU is going to have to, and Coach Satake has said, that whoever wins the starting job needs to be able to throw the ball well. And Borgay can throw the ball well. But Hillstead, I believe, would have the edge if you ask me today. And the reason is that he's more mobile than Borgay is. And, of course, he's got more experience than the freshman Bear Bachmeyer. But the reason that's important is that he doesn't have any experience running this BYU offense to speak of. And so he's got some experience at Utah State. He's done some things in college football, but running this offense with these folks on game day, you know, he doesn't have experience. But what he can do better than Borgay, I believe, is run around and extend plays and then hopefully have the experience to not turn that into negative plays for BYU if things aren't there. And so I think that combination will give Hillstead the edge heading into camp. Now, having said that, I'm not confident that any of these three guys will or won't win the job, because it could be any of them. Then keep this in mind. When it comes to choosing a starting quarterback, especially when there is no real clear guy there, you know, I think Hillstead has the edge because of his mobility, but we'll see. There are a couple of things that experienced coaches do, and one of them is they lean heavily on the response of the rest of the team to each of the quarterbacks. Nick Saban did this famously in Alabama, where he carried some quarterback competitions into the season, two or three games into the season, because he was waiting to see how guys would do in pressure situations in games and how the other guys would respond to him. Because players know which quarterback inspires the most confidence. Players know which quarterback can help them move the ball and score the best. And when you've got a quarterback starting that the players don't necessarily believe in as much, then it takes away from their confidence. But if they believe in a guy, that's the guy you go with. So one of the things you'll need to see as you watch this competition unfold is which of these quarterbacks in camp, in scrimmages, et cetera, is able to move the ball, is able to inspire his teammates, is able to inspire the confidence of his teammates. Because ultimately, I don't think it'll necessarily be whoever has the best completion percentage in camp and whoever has the fewest interceptions in camp and things like that. I think it'll be the guy that leads the best in camp that'll have the edge in the opener. And then the competition might carry through the first several games.
Trevor, let's put you back on the offensive line, in that offensive line room, under all the circumstances, and now you have three relatively inexperienced quarterbacks fighting for the job. Is this a rallying cry? Is the offensive line like the parents now here, where whoever it is, it's up to us to be the protector?
No, the offensive line is like a bunch of Conan the Barbarians. You know, they actually, you know, they want to have a great quarterback. They want an All-American Heisman candidate at quarterback. But offensive linemen love more than anything else for the team to be put on their back. I mean, they're always going to the coach on the sideline when things aren't going well, saying, "Coach, run the ball. Run the ball. Put it on us. We can do it. Run the ball." Well, right now, that's exactly what they're going to have to do, at least early in the season. And offensive linemen respond to that. They rise to that. And so that's why I say that, you know, this could make the rest of the team better than it ever could have been if they were relying on Jake and his magic, because now everybody else has to go. I mean, I go back to I played one season with Barry Sanders in Detroit. It was his rookie year. And then I watched him from then on. And he was, of course, one of the most amazing running backs the NFL has ever produced. And the thing is, when he left, Detroit kind of fell apart on offense because everybody just counted on Barry to make people miss and Barry to make big plays and Barry to get the job done in critical moments. And then Barry was gone. And everybody was like, well, now what do we do? Well, this BYU team knows now what are we going to do? And the offensive line, I think, will rise to the occasion. I'd be very disappointed if this doesn't become an old-school BYU smash-mouth team first. And then the play-action passes and the throws to the tight ends and things like that will follow.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN on BYU Sports Nation. Earlier, we'd spent some time talking about the national media and some specific members of the media, including Joel Klatt, who said he's selling BYU. The stock that he has, it just with no returning starting quarterback, he's kind of putting BYU out to pasture, if you will, a little bit. Now, that's not to say BYU can't still be a good team in his mind, but it feels like when you look at Phil Steele and some of the other preseason publications that now have BYU showing up somewhere in the 40s or 50s, along with what we just mentioned from Joel Klatt, that the Cougars maybe being a little bit undervalued. How do you see that, Trevor, as a team? Is BYU straight up being undervalued right now?
I think they are being undervalued, but it's fair for Joel and for Phil and for others to downgrade BYU because of this. When you look at the quarterbacks returning in the Big 12, I mean, it's one of the best quarterback leagues on paper heading into this season. I think the SEC might have a slight edge, but when you look at the Big 12's quarterbacks top to bottom, you probably have six guys that are draftable right now, and you may end up with more than that. That means six Big 12 quarterbacks, very good chance to be playing in the NFL next year or the year after. And so that is something that BYU has to compete with. And there's really a couple of ways to compete with that. One is because you have to have good quarterback play. If you don't have good quarterback play, then it's hard to win. But there's a couple of ways for your quarterback play to at least equal the other side. One is to have as good or better quarterback than the other guy. The other is to degrade the quarterback's performance on the other side. And that's where we get into the dynamic pass rush that BYU will need to develop even better this year from their defensive linemen without having to blitz. Because at the beginning of the season, at least, you have to expect that BYU will have will be giving up the edge at quarterback to their Big 12 opponents as they get into conference play. But you can degrade the other side. And BYU has been fantastic at turnovers and at stopping, you know, takeaways and at pass defense. They can be better at run defense, which will help them affect quarterbacks because they put them into obvious passing situations. But these are things that they'll need to do to degrade the other side while BYU's quarterback kind of gets up to speed. And so to say that BYU is downgraded is fair on paper heading into camp. Whoever starts at quarterback has a lot that they'll have to live up to, at first by avoiding mistakes, and then by avoiding mistakes plus distributing the ball correctly. And then later on in the season, as things start to get pretty hairy in October for in Big 12 play, they'll have to start making plays themselves. And if that doesn't happen, then BYU will struggle to live up to the expectations that BYU fans have. But that's not to say those things can't happen or won't happen. And it's fair right now to doubt BYU if you're on the outside looking in and you don't really know all the big advantages that BYU can bring to the table to compensate for the quarterback situation, at least early in the season. The schedule helps them as well. The first, you know, they've got a bye after the first 2 weeks, and then they've got, you know, a preseason schedule that is manageable. And so these are things that go into BYU's favor, but it's a matter of proving it. You have to prove it in order for people to turn around their perception.
Trevor, when the AP preseason top 25 poll comes out, BYU will be where?
I think if they're ranked at all, it'll be, you know, 20 to 25. Because, again, it's a matter of people having the perception that BYU can't compete at quarterback with the rest of the Big 12 now. And on paper, that's fair, because they've got no experience running BYU's offense in games from the people that are competing now for the starting quarterback job. Also keep this in mind that the quarterback competition, for example, at Ohio State, they had three guys, generally speaking, competing for their starting quarterback job because they didn't bring in a transfer to take over like they have, like they did last year to win the national championship with Will Howard. But they were committed to that quarterback competition from the beginning of the offseason and carried it all the way through spring, and they've got a lot of experience now with those guys. BYU, all of a sudden, after spring, has to have this three-man quarterback competition. They've got to split first-team reps where the rest of the Big 12's starting quarterbacks, or most of them, not all of them, but most of them, will get all the first team reps, and they're developing their chemistry with their receivers. The offensive line is understanding where each quarterback's going to be. You know, Dave, you mentioned, you know, for the center and the offensive line, what about the quarterback? Well, some quarterbacks stay in the pocket and they stick there. Some quarterbacks, all of a sudden, you're blocking your guy and he takes off running to the side because that quarterback is a scrambler, right? Well, these are things that most other contenders in the Big 12 are going to be practicing all the way through camp with their number one quarterback, and BYU is going to have to split all those reps between three guys and then two guys and then finally settle on one. And so, you know, these are some of the things that they'll need to overcome in order to get to where they want to go. But the lateness of the situation unfolding with Jake Retzlaff and his departure from the program really puts BYU in a position where the defense has to give lots of short fields and the offensive line is going to have to just pound the ball, control the clock, and wear the other side down. and then hope that the quarterback position can get up to speed quickly enough to be able to start to compete with some of those great quarterbacks they'll be opposing in the Big 12.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN, very much in mid-season form, yeah, even though it's July 23rd. Always bringing the heat. Hope you enjoy the rest of the summer and rest up for what is going to be a Big 12 season full of parity, my friend.
I appreciate it. This is going to be another fantastic race in the Big 12. I can't wait.
Let's go. Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks. Good stuff. Good stuff as always.
He's the best. Maddich Wednesday.
I look forward to Maddich Monday all season long.
It's one of my favorite parts of BYU Sports Nation and has been for the 12 years we've been doing the show.
It's a great national champion, Trevor Maddich. You know, football season's close when After Further Review returns. And Tuesday night, it's back. Join Blaine Fowler, David Nixon, and me for the season premiere of AFR. Tuesday night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app. We kick things off with the Touchdown Show. All the touchdowns from last season. You can't not watch the Touchdown Show and be completely happy with your life at the end of it.
It's next Tuesday?
That's next Tuesday.
Oh, man, football's right around the corner. Hey, multiple BYU athletes gearing up for Team USA. We'll give you an update on Cougars and the major leagues as well. Headlines after this on BYU Sports Nation.
We'll be right back with more of the best of BYU Sports Nation. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's get to our Wednesday headlines.
A lot of volleyballers on world tours. USA Volleyball, Corbin Batista, Leighton Bluth, going to play for the U19 national team at the FIBA World Championships. Pool play starts tomorrow. They'll go up against Finland. They're playing in Uzbekistan. If you know the risk game, then you know where Uzbekistan is. Good luck to those two.
Risk. It's been a minute since I got into that. Former BYU women's volleyball star Ronnie Jones-Perry, we call her RJP, and Team USA facing off with Italy in the Volleyball Nations League finals this morning. The U.S. swept in straight sets.
Ouch.
Still, congratulations to Ronnie and the U.S. earning a spot in that final.
BYU women's golfers Whitney Bands and Berlin Long competed yesterday at the Utah Women's Amateur Golf Championships. Bands beaten in the round of 16, Long advancing to the 36-hole match championship, which is tomorrow.
How about some information with your Batcats in the big leagues? Daniel Schneeman had one hit and scored a run yesterday in his two at-bats. His Cleveland Guardians defeated the Baltimore Orioles 6-3. Also of note, Justin Sterner gave up two hits and two runs in an A's loss to the Texas Rangers last night. Justin's had better performances, but honestly, this season has been a massive win overall for Justin. Cool to see a picture of those two together not too long ago.
It was awesome. Awesome.
After the break, we go back to our Big 12 Conference Football Media Day interviews with Dante Corleone, one of the best defensive linemen in the entire league. Why does he say he'd be a BYU guy if he weren't in Cincinnati? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Brian Logan. And these are your Tuesday headlines. Start us off, Brian.
BYU Director of Athletics Brian Santiago has announced enhancements to the BYU Athletics Senior Leadership. Of note, Travis Hansen joins as Senior Associate Athletic Director, overseeing revenue share and NIL operations. Current head coaches DLG Taylor and Kalani Sataki were also promoted as Senior Associate Athletic Directors that will assist the department with strategy and impact. Other additions and elevated roles from within the athletic department were announced yesterday.
BYU men's and women's volleyball both earn ABCA Team Academic Awards for 2025. In order to receive that award, teams must maintain a 3.3 GPA or higher for the entire year. The women's team had a 3.55 average GPA. Wow. earned the award for a sixth year in a row, and the men's team carried a 3.41 average GPA. Getting it done in the classroom.
Ronnie Jones-Perry and Team USA will compete in the Volleyball Nations League final tomorrow morning against Italy. The match will take place in Poland and will begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern.
Daniel Schneeman recorded an RBI yesterday in a 10-5 win against the Baltimore Orioles. Schneeman up to 26 runs batted in this season. He's batting .212. Dude's got 9 home runs as well. Good to see him getting it done in his second big league year.
BYU golfers Whitney Bands and Berlin Long secure first and second place after day one at the 119th Utah Women's State Amateur. Bands and Long will be the top two seeds for match play, which will begin with the round of 32 this morning, followed by the round of 16 that will be played this afternoon.
It's a lot of golf, but Whitney and Berlin seem poised for the moment. Good luck. Two former Cougars have qualified for the Pro Football Focus 2025 NFL Top 50. Fred Warner.
Frederick.
Not a shocker. In at number 24. That is PFF's top linebacker, by the way. 24 felt a little low to me. Warner recorded 131 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, and 2 interceptions last year for the 49ers. He was also injured.
Right.
He's also playing injured. Like, who is this guy? The other Cougar to make the list, Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua, number 32. He played 11 games last season, had to sit out for a while with an injury of his own. Nacua still had the NFL's highest receiving grade at 93. Good to have some stars in the NFL, Brian.
Hey, come to Brigham, go to the league.
Let's go. More BYUSN on the way, specifically my one-on-one with TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, why he believes TCU is way different this year, and his thoughts on playing in Pro Bowl on November 15th. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Join the conversation 24/7 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook using the hashtag BYUSN. The best of BYU Sports Nation rolls on after this. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
ESPN's Pete Thamel reporting Jake Retzlaff's going to transfer to Tulane. Texted Jake. He texted back, confirmed it, said, yeah, it's a good landing spot for him. They got a nice non-conference, Duke, Northwestern, Ole Miss. We wish Jake the best of luck as he goes and plays for the Green Wave.
All right. We talked about the American Conference. He's there now.
Yeah.
BYU men's basketball received the NABC Team Academic Excellence Award for the 2024-2025 season. The award recognizes teams that finish with a GPA of 3.0 or higher. The Cougars had 8 players with a GPA of over 3.2. And AJ should not have a problem being well over that.
He's going to spike that number. It's great. ESPN projecting Yegor Geoman, the starting point guard for the Brooklyn Nets this season. Averaged 11.3 points a game, 43% shooting from deep at the NBA Summer League. Think about it. When he decided he was going to the NBA, it was like, oh, you're not even going to be a lottery pick. He was 8th. You're going to sit on the bench for years. You should stay here and keep playing. ESPN says he's starting. Well played.
Good for him. I just wish we would have known about Dioman a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Trevin Nell, speaking of former BYU basketball players, competed with Team USA's Washington, D.C. squad at the FIBA 3x3 World Tour over the weekend. D.C. did not advance past pool play. Exiting the tournament after 4 games, Nell scored a game-high 10 points against Lithuania.
I saw he had a behind-the-back pass in for 2 for a nice assist. Daniel Schneeman and Justin Sterner, look at this picture. They faced off against each other as Cleveland and the A's met over the weekend. Sterner, no hits allowed, 0 runs allowed in an inning pitched in the A's win on Saturday. Schneeman had a hit and scored a run in the Guardians win yesterday. Those are it. Those are the two Cougs in the show, and it's great. What an awesome picture that is.
I love that connection, and I love how both of those guys got to the big leagues the hard way, Dave.
Yeah.
They just kept working and working all through the different levels of baseball.
Now just stay there. Just stay there as long as you can.
Fantastic. BYU women's soccer and Ellie Walbrook specifically named the USL W League MVP after Utah United defeated NC Courage U23 team to win the USL W League championship.
There's a lot of the alphabet involved in it.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on BYU TV and BYU Radio.